Reclining in progress, and Curl, did you know? Did you know?
Welcome to Sticky Pickles.
Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee-deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol, and this is Season 7, Episode 10 of Sticky Pickles, Queen Bee and the Friendship Tribunal. All right. Boom. Maria, for our last episode of Sticky Pickles of this season, what is your Sticky Pickles Queen Bee?
Queen Bee. All right. Have you ever enjoyed the sticky, sweet, viscous?
Sounds perverted.
Delicious taste of bubble tea.
That's a really hard one for me, Maria, because I didn't know what bubble tea was. I mean, I've heard of it. I just had not gone to one of the many outlets that have propped up in our town. And a buddy took me and she's like, I'll take you to the best place. We'll go get bubble tea. It'll be amazing. She ordered two of them for me. I had like some kind of weird, I don't know. And she's like, what do you want? Red bean, tapioca, or something else? And I didn't know what I was getting. Anyway, this big, humongous 20-gallon thing of tea juice arrives. At the straw is the size of like, I don't know, an inch across in diameter.
Yeah.
And when I take a little like slurp in, this bag of snot hits the back of my throat, and the texture is just not a bubble, not at all a bubble, not what I expected. Gross. I'm not a fan.
The snot comes extra. It's just
not the texture for me. I love that people love it. It's great. I have no problem with it existing. Oh my God, you're not going to see me lining up.
That's my sticky pickle, everybody. I just wanted to hear Curl's answer. So good night. So funny. I actually really love bubble tea, but it's really funny.
You like the snot bags, the little snot rolls.
It's tapioca. So I'm like, I'm tapioca pudding and all that kind of stuff. They've got that viscous texture. That word viscous is just, really, but still, I don't know. Maybe it's because I got introduced to it 20 years ago or something. All right. So when you go to one of these bubble tea stores or shops or tea salons, I've heard them called all sorts of different things. Bubble tea salons, they're pretty busy. There's like a gajillion near me, and every single one of them is always busy. There's like a staff of 5 people, and no one ever has a break because it just seems like people are coming and going. So think of your local bubble tea store. It's called like Ha Ha Pearl. In this case, it's called Ha Ha Pearl. Okay.
See, Pearl for the snot balls. Yeah.
And Beatrice is the front of house, I guess, for Ha Ha Pearl. I don't know actual proper accurate terminology for working in a restaurant, but the person who's kind of like takes the orders from people and does the cashier work, I'm guessing that would be
host or front of house.
Yeah. So that person is Beatrice, and she's been working at Ha Ha Pearl for a while. She knows how everything works. And one of the new hires at Ha Ha Pearl was just going to be seasonal, but now she's starting to be working there most of the time. Her name is Dorothy. And Dorothy is more back of house, I guess. So she is going in and out of the back kitchen, often like getting like stuff to get clean or
use those crazy machines they have to shaky shaky.
Yeah, the shaky shaky machines are like getting stuff from inventory, anything that's just like the back door. Anything like that, that's Dorothy. Wow, that got dirty really fast. I was not expecting that. Since Dorothy's new, she's really keen to make a good impression with Beatrice, especially since Dorothy was like given a chance as a seasonal worker. And now she wants to show Beatrice and all the other staff that like she's a good hire. This is a job where she definitely like should get good time shifts and people should treat her nice and maybe advance in her career a little bit. You know, try to do a good job. Yeah, Meanwhile, Beatrice is very nice to her when she's around other people. But when it's just Dorothy and Beatrice, like say they're both in the back office area or the inventory, they're doing inventory work out of the earshot of other people. Beatrice is a total bitch to Dorothy. Just absolutely awful.
Oh my God. Okay, our stories have a similar thread.
No, are you serious? No.
Yep, you'll find out. So Beatrice is nice in the front house, not so nice when they're alone in the back room or whatever. And why is that? Because she doesn't like her or...
Basically, Beatrice doesn't think that Dorothy needs to even be there. Like, they were doing fine without Dorothy. They needed Dorothy for seasonal help. But as far as Beatrice is concerned, it's no longer peak season. Why do we still have this new kid around?
Yeah, sayonara, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just taking up space. You're literally getting in my way. Like, it's a tight space. You know, there's only space for, like, four of us here. Now there's five, like, bleh. So that's Beatrice's point of view. And Dorothy's kind of like, well, I'm making things easier here. I'm being useful.
I'm trying to make a fucking living. Queen
you know, paying bills. Imagine that. But Dorothy's dealing with Beatrice being a bitch.
Yep.
And she's noticing that it goes from just being a bitch to her in private to Beatrice starting to get real openly passive aggressive / openly aggressive. Beatrice is starting to do things like doing Dorothy's job and complaining that Dorothy's not doing things fast enough and being like this, you know, Dorothy, oh, she's so useless. It's easier for me to just take care of things myself. And Beatrice was saying things like that sort of under her breath around other staff. And now she's sort of saying it more loudly. And Dorothy's going, like you're doing things when I'm supposed to be doing it. And you're literally stopping me from doing my job.
Am I right in saying like Beatrice is basically saying, we don't need this girl. I can do these jobs on my own. Get out of the way. You're in my way. Get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Yeah. Okay. So Dorothy's feeling marginalized, I'm guessing, and feels shit.
Yeah. And here's the worst part for Dorothy. Dorothy had a vacation planned, and she's really nervous that if she takes this vacation, and it's just going to be like 2 days, it's not even a long vacation. It's just like she's just out of town for a long weekend. She's really nervous that when she comes back, she's going to find that Beatrice did all her work for her while she was gone. And that everyone's going to notice, including their manager, and go, well, maybe we really don't need Dorothy. And so far, by the way, the manager has been fucking useless. So, like, too busy to notice anything that's going on and also not around very much. So, like, there's no higher up that Dorothy can appeal to. She's got to figure out what to do with Beatrice on her own. What would you do in Dorothy's situation if you've got a coworker who's just being an absolute horrendous person?
Okay, I really hate our similarities, though there's enough differences that it'll be an interesting show. Don't stop now, listeners.
Don't undersell it.
Okay. This is a really shitty catch-22 for me, because on one side, you as Dorothy should have total right to work. Like, it has nothing to do with any other employee. It's between you and whoever hired you, and you know the deal, and if they want you there and you want to stay there, that has nothing to do with anybody else. So fuck them. However, if someone's making your life shit, there are many, many bubble tea establishments in the area, and you now have bubble tea expertise, I'd suggest to go look elsewhere, because you don't want to deal with that hassle every day, even if it's not your fault.
Plenty of fish in the sea, plenty of bubble tea salons on High Street.
So maybe she could go talk to her manager and say, this isn't cool. Like, you asked me to stay after my seasonal work.
Yep,
I'm here and I'm being totally treated like shit. So what are you going to do about that? It's not for you to solve, right? You're presumably minimum wage, you know?
Definitely minimum wage. Yeah. Dorothy, I think, is going to take your advice about looking elsewhere. But it is interesting to me that that people can get really possessive about their jobs, even if it's like a miserable minimum wage job. I've been there. You've probably been there, where it's just like, it doesn't matter how minor the job might seem. If it's somebody's little fiefdom, some people get super possessive about it.
I have been. If I'm in a job and someone swans in and they seem more competent, more capable, more well-liked, like, and you're thinking, what's going to happen to me? So I get the feeling of feeling threatened, but how you handle those feelings is kind of what's key, right? And the way B's doing it by being a dickhead is not really...
She's also going to burn out doing another person's.
They both will, right? If Dorothy stays there trying to continually work in this environment that's not working for her and doesn't get any help to help her, get the fuck out.
Get out, Dorothy. Get out.
Get out.
You can make that red bean with extra aloe and extra pearls somewhere else. It's
yeah, and I will not be going to try it.
No, so. But I will. Not that girl. I really want some bubble tea now. Oh, man, this coffee will not do. Girl, now that I'm craving bubble tea, tell me about the Friendship Tribunal.
I don't know if this is a shitty title or not. I had trouble giving this a title. So if one occurs to you while I'm telling it, let me know. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Michelle and Bud. Okay. They are kind of
Bud. Oh.
Bud. Yeah. Like a flower bud, but like a kind of,
but like a flower bud. Got it.
Big guy. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're kind of like the royal couple of this fictitious gaggle of friends I'm going to be talking about, of which you, in this fictitious world, Maria, and your husband, Eric, are part.
Oh, Eric, you get a mention.
Yay. Hi, Eric.
Is there a bell I can ring? Ding.
Michelle and Bud have split up. Okay.
Mm.
Now, this golden couple seemed to be surfing through life completely unscathed. You know, the kind of friends you're like, oh, of course, they've got it all kicked, you know, perfectly set up. Like Michelle had taken time off from work to have a family. She's always turned out perfectly with lovely, polite children that never freak out. She even goes to church on Sundays. She helps with charity drives. And Bud's a big deal in the local bank, and he coaches Little League, and la, 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 you get the idea.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Lots of energy. My goodness.
Yeah, and they're kind of like, they're great. They're so fun. They throw great parties. They're fabulous. They're a great couple, but they're now defunct. This has happened when Michelle announced it a few months ago that they were hitting Divorceville. And she's like telling a bunch of her girlfriends from this group, you're there, right? She can't wait, right? After 30 years of putting up with his shit, she has decided she's not happy. And not only that, but she says, you know, everything was always my fault. I was always walking on eggshells.
Mm.
By the end, I couldn't even stand being in the same room with him. Ooh. I'm so much better off now, she's saying, right? Over coffee when you meet with her.
Okay.
And this, you know, looks to be true, you know, you think, because, you know, she does look good. You know, she's not, you know, she was drinking a bit too much. She's now not drinking as much. She seems like well-rested, but they just don't get it because they've known her for 20 years, right? You've known Michelle 20 years and she's always been with Bud and she's always sung his praises. But when they ask about this to her, right? When you say, hey, but like you guys were all so happy. She says, oh, I didn't want anyone to know. I didn't want to be a burden. I was embarrassed.
Yeah. You never know what's going on in someone's relationship. That has been proven to me over and over in life.
100%.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. I it's always surprising, but it's not. I think the surprise is like me as an outside person going, how did I have no idea? How did you all hide that so well? And then I'm kind of like in awe.
Yeah, I think some people don't hide it, right? Some people you're kind of like, that's not going to work for long. I don't see that working. but other people, yeah, you think totally great and then suddenly kaboom. Yeah.
Well, there's some people who are also total dumpster fires and you're like, that's not going to last half a year. And then they're together 40 years.
That's true.
It's like, yeah. How did they stay together? Pure misery. And they just enjoy making each other miserable. And that made them... their marriage last.
Kept the fires stoked.
Kept the fires burning. Yeah. I think for me, when I find out someone's been masking something like that so well, after the shock subsides, I'm kind of in awe. I'm just like, how do you do that? Like, hide that so well? Like, you really had that facade so effective. You had me totally fooled. Teach me your secrets.
Okay, so perfect. Okay, so stay with that. Stay with that, okay. Right? And you, as one of Michelle's gaggle of friends, you know, you get home to Eric and you tell him what happened and what she said. But the guys, right? Eric is close with Bud. He's also had a chat with Bud. And Bud has an entirely different take on the sitch. You know, he said things like, did she ever look unhappy? I mean, Christ, just look at her socials. And it's true. Smile, smile, smile. Like, you know, envious pics of like perfect influential life. She didn't work for the last 15 years, you know, so but yeah. She basically sponged off me, says Bud. Like, she could have worked. And sure, we thought, but eventually she would calm down. And, you know, then we would see what we were talking about. And she'd see what that, you know, I had a point. And there was no fucking problem. She's just gone nuts. But of course, when you get back to Michelle and you maybe kind of try and dig around about this, she's like, I didn't work because he didn't want me to work. He didn't want a stranger looking after our precious babies.
Picture's very different.
You know, but he hardly ever spent any time with them. So you get the picture, right? It's nasty for everybody.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that they both have very different views on what went on. I mean, it does happen sometimes where a couple that splits, it's like, yeah, they're totally on the same page about why it didn't work.
Yeah.
Those folks are kind of the exception. Yeah, a lot of times it is two very different points of view and two very different versions of events, and they can both be true.
Isn't that right? So, like, you are a couple friend of this couple who are now no longer a couple. And
yeah,
basically all you kind of talk about now is who he said, she said, right? And you don't want to start fighting in your own house because both of you have different people who you're getting your main line of information from.
Yeah.
And as you said earlier, you don't know who's telling the truth, really.
And they could both be telling, and they're telling their own. It's Rashomon, the sticky pickle. It's everyone's telling their own version of this.
Yes. I love it. I wish I'd called it that.
Rashomon, the sticky pickle.
That's the name.
That's the name. But then there's also, for me and Eric as ourselves, we have our third party view of what was going on. So that will also inform our chit chats after.
Sure.
Yeah.
You may both decide to believe her or believe him, but then you don't want to keep going into that lion's den where you're feeling duplicitous.
I mean, I try to make it a policy as much as possible to stay out of other couples' business because.
Right.
You don't want to. Okay. Yeah. It's very hard. When a couple splits, like, you try to not choose sides, but inevitably you kind of do.
And they kind of force you to if they talk badly about the other person.
They kind of force you to. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've been in this situation. It sucks.
Sticky.
I genuinely am still in it with other friends. So I'm like, there isn't necessarily a happy resolution.
Okay, so you, Maria, right, you discuss this at home, and you guys decide, look, this is a lot. This is maybe too much for us. You know, we've got stuff to do, jobs, family, all the stuff. Maybe it's not good for us right now. So you kind of start slowly distancing yourself, right? You just pull away slowly and from both of them, and you kind of, you know, you see them, but just vaguely, and it's more light. The conversation's not as deep. We don't go into deets.
Yeah, yep.
Because, you know, it's just too much. But then months later, you're having a cuppa and scrolling the socials, right? As you do.
They're back together. They're back together. No.
And
yes?
You see that Michelle has come out with a brand new podcast.
And it's called Sticky Pickles.
Do you want to know what the podcast is called?
Yes, I'm dying to know.
My Toxic Marriage Uncensored.
Oh, juicy. Oh, my God.
So what do you do now? Do you go and like click, click, click?
I want all that hot goss.
Okay.
Oh, fuck yes. Hot goss. It's a car crash. I want to know.
Okay. So you take a look immediately. You go take a look. You can't help it, right? And there's three episodes out there.
Okay? How many listens?
I'll share the titles.
How many ratings on Apple Podcasts?
Seven. It's brand new. It's
and they're
brand
all
new.
Five star, and they're like, this is the best hot gossip I've ever heard.
Exactly.
<stars.
laughs> Number one, enabling a toxic relationship. Number two, learning to trust yourself. Number three, snubbed by people you love. Now, which one do you listen to first?
Probably snubbed because I suspect that's about me.
I knew it. I knew it. And that's what I probably would do too in this situation completely, right?
I'm going to hear my friend drag me publicly. Yep. Strap in, everybody. It's going to get good.
Right. So you press play And you're like sitting there like rigid like a board, you know, hands on lap, like you have like an equilateral triangle going on or whatever it is. Right angle triangle going on.
Geometry. Love this. Okay.
Love this. Yeah, little math.
Little math.
You're listening and, you know, you're not mentioned by name, but by first initial.
M. Yeah.
And E. Like everyone who's in the group would know who was being mentioned. But she also talks about other people in the gaggle because maybe half of them stuck with her and believed her and supported her and half kind of distanced themselves. Mm-hmm. And she's commending those that believed and supported her. And basically disses those that kind of didn't believe her. She's saying things like, don't you know, people like women want to make it work. They have kids. They want to make the family work. They'll do anything to make it work. And if it doesn't work, and they say they've been faking it all this time, why don't you believe them?
I'm kind of like, you couldn't see me rolling my eyes because I was like, oh, she sounds exhausting. Can I just opt out of this friendship already? Delete. I'm like, yeah, okay, I think we're done.
Delete.
Yeah, I think we've run our course.
But you can do that though, right? I suppose you can.
Because here's the thing. If you're in a situation where people are asking you to pick sides, you automatically lose.
Yeah.
There's no winner in that situation. If anyone's like, you have to pick a side, forget it. That person doesn't have the maturity that they don't meet my bar.
Yeah. So,
unless it's something like, if it was a very obvious situation and nobody intervened and it required intervening, that's obviously a crisis. But if it's a situation where somebody was actively hiding it and nobody had any way of knowing, and then it's like, well, why didn't you know? It's like, well, you were hiding it. How would I have known? And,
yeah, but she's not going, I'm telling you the truth now.
Well, I'm getting used to the truth right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, this idea, though, of people starting podcasts where they kind of reveal all. And part of me completely loves that stuff because, you know, whatever, you can learn so much about like having an open conversation like that. But also, if these people are 100% identifiable, it impacts a lot of people in their life directly, potentially.
Yeah.
And like no one would know who you were from your initial in the big bad world.
But if it's somebody being like, I'm going to talk about my friends right now, then yeah, I mean, my friends would know.
Yeah, your friends would know.
And I also know many of my friends listen to this show.
You know
show.
Who you are. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I have known situations, these are not my friends, but friends of people that I know, where it was like a couple that was together for literal decades, and it was revealed once the kids are out of the house and graduated college. By the way, he's been literally physically abusing his wife all this time, and she, even when friends have tried to intervene, she insists that he's not that bad. I mean, like, you know, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be, yeah, like, and that, stuff like that where you're like, I don't know what to do here. You can't force somebody out of a situation.
No. So if you don't say, but it's about, yeah, it's about speaking up, right? So basically, I think the takeaway from this is you may be lying to 99% of the people out there. Choose a few not to lie to, right? So that they know who you are really.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that really the thing? That if you've been hiding the nature of what's been going on in your life that long, then I, as your friend, have never known the real you. And so our entire friendship's been based, yeah, on a big old lie. So that can also take some recalibrating. So I'm just excusing my bad behavior for ghosting this fictional person I've never met.
And also those people out there who are going, oh my God, I love this person so much because she never talks really about herself. She's always so interested in me. Know that they're probably fucking deflecting, right? And maybe inquire just a little bit about them rather than be in love with the mirror that they're providing you.
Yeah.
This is a deep episode.
This is a deep episode.
And this is from non-doctor Kraltario and non-doctor Marie
Vermusis. Yeah. Yes, seriously. Well, it's a tough one. This specific situation happens inevitably as you move through life. It's not something I was really worried about in my mid-20s because it hadn't really started happening yet. But as you start getting older, you do encounter situations where it's like, wow, your life is completely different from the image that you were telling everybody. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can tell, like there are definitely people I know where I'm like, that facade has a lot of cracks and they're working so hard to maintain this facade, but they don't know that everybody can see through it. And I wish they would stop.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah for you saying that.
Or like you can see a couple where you're going, that situation is not great. They clearly are under a lot of stress of their own making. If only they could just relax a little bit and not feel like they have to do all the things, because that's what they feel like they are supposed to be doing. Yeah. You know, just fucking relax, people. But nope.
Yeah, I think that's the best advice for this end of this series. Just fucking relax.
Everybody just chill and have some boba tea.
No! That's it for this episode and series of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Get off your butts and review.
Yes. 'Tis only but a brief hiatus while we enjoy the spring holidays. In the meantime, if you want to send us a little tip of our course, we do have a Patreon.
Yes. Don't you love that there's no ads in this show? I do too. That's why.
Yeah. So please help us cover our like hosting bills. That's pretty much it.
Basic cost.
Patreon.com/stickypickles. It's $3. Tip jar. That's it.
We love you.
And thank you for your support, everybody. You can get in touch with us also on Instagram at stickypicklespod and hashtag stickypickles on Fediverse if you're a nerd like me. And anything else you can find on stickypickles.com. And we'll see you after the hiatus.
Yay. Look after yourselves.
Yeah, for season what? Season 8?
8. Ah! That's going to be the best 8. One. It's going to be definitely the best.
It's going to be infinite sideways.
Don't want to miss it. If you miss it, you're just going to be like, whoa.
You're going to be like, whoa.
This is the worst. What? Whoa.
Oh my God.